So this morning we're talking about the tree and its fruits, but we're actually talking about false leaders and false prophets. So let me read to you the scripture that we're taking our text from this morning. We're nearly through the Sermon on the Mount. We're coming to the end. And this is taken from Matthew 7, and it's from 15 to 23. So it says this: watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. And by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? That's a bit of a thither. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and drive out demons, and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So this is a rather uncomfortable and challenging part that we've come to in our section. And it might kind of make us slightly nervous. And to set the scene a little, Jesus was talking previously about entering the gate to eternal life called narrow. And by referring to narrow, he wasn't saying that it's hard to become a Christian. He was saying that this is the only way through the narrow gate, and that the broad gate leads us to destruction. So we might ask ourselves, why, after Jesus talking about the narrow and the wide gates and the choosing between two paths, he would then go on to talk about false prophets? Maybe the point he's making here is that the road that we travel called life is not an easy road. And some will fake that walk and they'll choose the broad gate rather than the narrow gate, which requires the way of obedience. So in this passage, we're being warned about putting our trust in false teachers and prophets. And we're continually warned about being led astray. False prophets and false teachers were very common in Jesus' time. They prophesied only what the king and the people wanted to hear. However, we know that false prophets and teachers are just as common today. Those are them that can talk the language. They even often speak the truth, but they don't walk the walk. In other words, their lives don't match up or bear fruit, as we were just looking at just now. They want us to believe they're walking the narrow way, but they're not. Such people are happy to pray with you, examine your life, and yet not prepared to examine their own. Their intention is not to lead people in godly growth. What Jesus is stressing here, that those who come to faith will always want to do his will and walk in obedience, and we will do with the hope of his grace. I was reminded as I was thinking about this, even this morning, of the cult in America. Don't you remember that cult in America by a man called Jones, where over 900 people took their lives in suicide because they felt that that was right? if ever there was a false leader, there was our proof. And that was in our times. It was only in 201, I think. False teachers are deceptive. They offer us an easy ride. They say to us who listen to them, if I can do that, if I can live like that, if he can live like that, well, maybe I can live like that too. And that's how we become deceived. And that's why Jesus says to us, watch out. In his day, Jesus was most likely talking to the Pharisees and the hypocrites. But this is still just as relevant as today. If false teachers were easy to detect, we wouldn't need these warnings. Deceit will always find its way into every religion, every church, and every cult, even Christianity. After all, deceit was at work in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Think about it. If you were Satan, how would you seek to deceive people? You'd probably use teachers and leaders of cults and world religions. Watch out, Jesus says. False leaders look like sheep, but actually they're ferocious wolves. And we know one of the things that wolves do is kill sheep. I remember some years ago that there started in America a group of Christians of a culture, and they would sell you the idea that to receive a blessing or a gift from God, all you had to do was name it in the name of Jesus. And to rid ourselves of demons or sin or prayer, or not a prayer, forget that. All we had to do was to name it in the name of Jesus and it would be gone. No praying or fasting was needed. For those of us who were unimpressed as Christians in that, it often got called the name of name it and shame it and blab it and grab it. In other words, if what I ask for in the name of Jesus, I have a right to, and what I pronounce in the name of Jesus will come to pass. Now, there is some truth in that, but also there is some deception in that. And it also, that way, leads to deception and disillusionment. I'm sure we've all met those who have claimed once to have walked with God and now feel so hurt and let down by Christians, God, and the church that they no longer believe. I remember a while ago praying, meeting with a young lady on a regular basis, and she would tell me she was a lovely Christian, came from a lovely Christian family, went to a lovely church, and she would always encourage me by her faith and by her prayer life, and believed that part of her belief was that one day this particular thing would happen. And sadly, the day came, and in this particular thing didn't happen. And the next time I saw her, she said it was over. Her faith has gone. God didn't perform like he should have done. And so therefore, she no longer believed. And our whole world overnight had changed. You know, we're not in this for God to meet our needs. We're there to be used by God. We're called to be his servants. In this text that we read, there are two sorts of deceit going on. There are those who deceive and those who are deceived. When Jesus talks about bad trees, he means teachers who deliberately teach false doctrine. He's not talking about those of us who struggle with our sinful natures, because we're all subject to sin. And also, this is not about giving us permission to go on a witch hunt and start using judgment over people. You know, previously in this section, Jesus said, told us not to judge, lest we be judged. And you remember, if you were here last week, Paul had a wonderful picture up of two people, one with a great huge log in the eye and another with a splinter. It's about us watching out, not being naive. and being alert to the fact that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is naturally a follower. Now, this is a kind of a wow moment that these people were doing great deeds in his name. And I wondered, I asked myself, when was the last time I did a great deed? Did I perform a miracle? But these had. And yet, still God said to them, or will say to them, who are you? I don't recognize you. And that might seem hard. Yet signs and wonders will always be performed by false prophets. They were then, and they still are now. In Luke's version of this story, he says it even stronger. Jesus will say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet do not do what I tell you? Again, this shows the difference between the saying and the doing. And in 2 Corinthians, it says this, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So, you know, how does it happen that miracles might be performed by those who don't walk with God or whose walk is fake? And I believe that God honours his name, and that Jesus, even though these are not true disciples, Jesus will accomplish his plan. In my early days as a Christian, I went to one of those tent crusades, and I heard a man who had a great healing ministry, and many people were healed and came to the Lord by him. And yet when it came to ask for a financial appeal, it was toe-curlingly embarrassing. And many asked, why did God use such a man when obviously his whole aim in life was about creating a bigger money pot? And it seems that God honors his name and God still works in people's lives through us. So let's look at what might make a false teacher. For some, and certainly I guess in some ministries, there might be a huge profit to be made in being a leader. I don't know if you've come across that, David. Yes, just look at him. For some are motivated by power or to seek recognition. For some, it might be under the false idea making the gospel, rewriting it to suit themselves and their own lifestyle. And some leaders and disciples might be under the illusion that it's enough to receive Christ, and that will automatically get them a free pass to heaven, collecting £200 on the way or the equivalent gift, and that will be enough. Well, conversely, some might think that by our works we are saved. That if I live a good life, make enough sacrifices, that will be enough. Some even might choose to live that busy life to blot out the desire or the time or the need to spend with the Father. We remember that Jesus in his lifetime took himself off many times from the crowds to be with his Father. What we see here is Jesus is not concerned with our, well, he is concerned with our walk, but he's more concerned with us doing right than speaking right. Now, we might think this is not for us, not relevant, we're not all leaders, but we are all here today called to be disciples. And what we see here is that as disciples, we're expected to live a life in obedience and to do the Father's will. The false disciple goes his own way, but no amount of sacrifice or good thing will ever replace obedience. Imagine going to your GP with a rash and being given a tub of cream that you instantly didn't like the smell of. So instead of using that, you went on the internet and got yourself some tablets that you did like the smell of. And then you go back to the doctor, to the GP, and you complain that the rash is no better. Your GP might throw their hands up in frustration. Well, one of the greatest signs of false disciple, which didn't go down on the board, and I wanted to yell it out, is lack of humility. But that's one of the biggest signs of not doing the will of God. So how will we know the false when we come across it? Well, as I said, many say that a lack of humility is a sign that stands out most. However, coming back to our trees, trees look mostly the same. They have trunks and branches and leaves. And if I was to walk into an orchard today, I'm not sure I would know the difference between a lovely Cox's apple tree and a Brambley apple tree. One I would love to eat, the other would set my teeth on edge. And just as bankers can spot a false banknote better than I can, because they have knowledge of what the paper feels like, what it actually should look like, we too, by our knowledge of the word and prayer, should be able to spot a false leader or prophet. However, in this text, Jesus gives us a good way about recognizing the good from the bad. Like I would have to taste my apples to know the difference, we are told that we shall be known by our fruits. The false leader is often a gifted person who leads, does his performance well, may even exercise the gift of the Spirit, does his job day in and day out, may be respected by many. He plays a part, but falls short on his personal level of following Jesus. The onlooking of the false leader might not quite add up. Is their gifting more important to them than their love towards others? Jesus is saying here that if we don't have love, our gifting will count for nothing. And in the end, that's what we'll have to answer for. I was thinking, because I must somehow get the Olympics in here, that if Mo Farrell turned up to his race at the Olympics and told us, explained all his preparation, all the food that he'd ate, all the hours that he pulled in, told us how then he was going to run the race, what that would feel like to get a gold medal, but didn't actually do it, we wouldn't be incredibly impressed. We'd feel cheated, and actually there wouldn't be a gold medal. We're appalled often when we hear of child abuse carried out by those proclaiming to be men and women of God. Many victims not believe because their perpetrators hide behind a mask of religiosity. Eventually our truth will be known. By our truth we will be known. By our fruit we will be known. Remember the story of the man with the healing ministry I told you about? Well, his lust for money became his undoing when he became a thief and stole money that was given for a good cause, for a good project for the poor. Will ever grapes grow on thistles or figs thorn bushes? So in our text, we're told to be fruit inspectors. When we look around, do we see kindness and love for one another? Do we see mercy to those in need? Do we see care for the poor and marginalized? Do we see compassion? I wonder how our families or our neighbors would grade us. You see, this is not just about the leader out there, the prophet out there. Jesus is challenging all his disciples to examine our lives. How terrible would it be at the end time to hear Jesus say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer," rather than, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So as we come to communion now, let's have a time to reflect and ask ourselves, what is the fruit that I'm portraying in my life? Amen.